The Lover of the Grave, written by Andrew Taylor and read by Philip Franks.
Author's note. The title comes from poem 16 in A Shropshire Lad by A. E. Houseman. All chapter epigraphs are taken, with permission, from the Lidmouth Gazette. Part 1. The Hanging Tree of Ashbridge. County Historical Curiosities, Number 8. The oak, now a hollow ruin of its former self, is believed to be at least 400 years old. It acquired its sinister sobriquet because at one time the corpses of executed malefactors were hanged in chains from its boughs, as a dreadful example to those who might be tempted to stray from the law of the land. This practice was known locally as keeping sheep by moonlight, an expression which may have been confined to parts of the Anglo-Welsh marches. The Oxford Dictionary of Proverbs cites only one other example, a footnote in A. E. Houseman's A Shropshire Lad. The Lidmouth Gazette, 6th of January. Chapter 1. Richard Thornhill first saw the crocuses on a dark February evening. He was in his little office at police headquarters, packing up to go home, and wondering what he would find when he got there. It was bitterly cold, despite the fact that the gas fire was on and the window was shut. He heard a tap on the door, and Sergeant Foles marched in with a bowl of crocuses.
"They're for you, sir."
"Are you sure?"
"A gentleman left it downstairs. Said you won it."
Thornhill stared at Foles, who, as usual, looked grave and preoccupied, as if playing a pivotal role in the great drama of life, a drama which, but for his efforts, might at any moment tip over into tragedy. A memory stirred. Victor Yulegreave, one of the church wardens, had buttonholed Thornhill in the library a few weeks earlier and persuaded him to buy 5 raffle tickets for a draw in aid of the repairs appeal at St. John's.
6th prize.
Foles set down the bowl on Thornhill's desk, adjusted it so that it was centrally placed between the corners of the blotter, and backed away.
"There'll be a full list of winners in the Gazette. Congratulations, sir."
The door closed behind the sergeant. Thornhill put on his hat and overcoat and turned off the gas fire. He returned to the desk and stared down at the glazed bowl, which had been painted a shade of white that reminded him of the tiling in public urinals. The crocuses were dark green stakes tipped with purple. They made him think of funerals. Best take them home for Edith, who liked such things. She might see them as a peace offering. Not that he and Edith were at war, of course. There was no need for olive branches. He scooped up his briefcase in one hand and lifted the bowl with the other. By the door, he hesitated, realizing he would need a third hand to open it. The hesitation was fatal. As he turned to put down the bowl, the phone on his desk began to ring. Again, he hesitated, swinging, as so often, between duty and inclination. As so often, the former won. Too often? He put down the bowl and picked up the handset.
"Call for you, sir."
It was the clerk on the switchboard.
"Wasn't sure if you'd gone."
"I was just leaving. Can't Sergeant Kirby take it?"
"The caller asked for you personally, sir. Very insistent, she was."
"She?
Who is it?"
"Mrs. Weems Brown." Disappointment touched him. Wrong she. Wrong damn everything.
"And did she say what she wants?"
"I did ask." The clerk's voice was defensive.
"She said her business was with you."
The clerk sounded plaintive as well as defensive. Typical reactions in those who had dealings with Charlotte Weems Brown. Thornhill was tempted to send a message to the effect that he would telephone her in the morning if Sergeant Kirby could not help, but by doing so he would expose the unfortunate clerk to the rough side of Mrs. Weems Brown's tongue. He would also run the risk of offending the lady himself. One thing he had learnt since coming to Lidmouth was that one didn't offend Mrs. Weems Brown without good reason. A moment later she was on the line.
"Inspector Thornhill, good afternoon."
He moved the earpiece away from his ear.
"Good evening, Mrs. Weems Brown. What can we—" "The lavatories, Inspector. This simply can't go on. What do you propose to do?"
"I'm sorry, I don't follow you."
"Surely you have the matter in hand? I had a long discussion about it with your desk sergeant only last week. Not more than 10 days ago.